Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. We know the broader context. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and glory, now and forever. Amen. Part of the Lord's Prayer, the disciples' prayer, as I like to call it. But you know, in that prayer, while it has many aspects, we're focusing narrowly on that one verse, which is verse 10 of Matthew chapter 6. So if you wanted to open your Bibles there, it is verse 10 of Matthew chapter 6. And in that, we understand it is a prayer. It is a cry for the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God to come. Thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. It is a prayer that will ultimately have its fulfillment when the Lord Jesus Christ does come back to this earth. He promised to come back. Does anybody know that? He said, I'm coming back. And he's coming back and he's going to set up on this earth a kingdom for 1,000 years. It's not heaven yet. It's going to be beautiful. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be wonderful. It's going to be unlike anything that we have known, you know, in our little time here on earth. But it's not heaven yet. But it is the millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ, the time that his kingdom will come to this earth. Jesus will be on the throne. He will be ruling and reigning. The saints of God will be here with him. Us, if you're a child of God, you will be returning with him. It's asking God for the peace. See, you know, we pray for peace, but ultimately we realize that true peace can never come until the Prince of Peace or the King of Peace comes himself. But we're asking for peace. We're asking for his goodness. We're asking for his righteousness. We're asking for his loving rule to guide the world. Because we do not have that today, do we? There are those who want to claim that the millennial kingdom is now, that we've been living in it. And I go, really? Where can I get a refund? Is this the millennium? I don't think so. Not what the book says, not what the word of God says, but it is coming. And it is good to pray for it. And it is part of that disciples' prayer or Lord's prayer, where this turning focus from praising God for who he is, hallowed be thy name, to aligning then with our desire to see his kingdom come to this earth. It's a desire for divine order. A desire for replacing this world that deals with the rule of man. The rule of very imperfect human hearts, to replace hatred and greed and injustice with love and peace and true justice. It's praying the desire for a future hope, that the ultimate literal return of Jesus Christ to this earth will set up this kingdom. But it's also a prayer, as we'll see in a moment, that's a call to action. It's a call to action in our lives, not just a mere wishful thinking and hope saying, okay, I can't wait till it comes, but Lord, can it come even now? And when we pray, thy kingdom come, it's followed up immediately with thy will be done, because they go hand in hand. Where his kingdom is, his will should be being done. It should be taking place. Jesus mirrored this for us when he was on this earth. When he, the perfect Lamb of God, the only God-man, the only sinless one to ever become, take on human flesh, came to this earth. He came to this earth, and when he was here, he lived a life in line with the kingdom of God. Up until the point of even his crucifixion, and just prior to it, in the agony in the garden, not my will, Father, not my will, but yours. Yours be done. It's an idea of trusting him over ourselves and our ability to do and to understand, and even our own fears and doubts. Thy will, not mine, thine. And it's based on a standard, a heavenly standard. Your will to be done, thy kingdom come, your will to be done on this earth just as it is in heaven. Where his rule, where his authority is obeyed and is instantly, perfectly, joyfully, complete, wonderful, amazing peace of God. It's a prayer that begs for that to happen here on this earth. Flawless, if you will, obedience and harmony with God and his will and his plans. A lack of rebellion, this rebellious hearts, and an idea that, Lord, would this happen here? As I said, Jesus modeled it, not my will, but yours be done. He said that even earlier in his ministry when he was talking about the kingdom and the things that he did, and when he was at the well with the woman at the well, and they said, you have to eat, master. And he had, was wearied after his journey, and he sat by the well, but he had an appointment, a divine appointment. See, a divine appointment, the will of the Father, an appointment that he had with that woman who came, to draw water, that he was able to share, the kingdom of God with her, and she ran back to tell everybody what she experienced and to invite them all to experience it for themselves. They questioned him like, Lord, you haven't anything to eat. And what did he say? He said in John 4:34, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. Yeah, I'm hungry, because he hungered when he was in this body. He hungered, he thirsted. But he said it was more important for me to complete the assignment to do the will of my Father. And that is my food, to do the will of him who sent me. So in that way, Jesus showed us what it was and what it meant to do the will of the Father. Willingly do the will of the Father. Not grudgingly, to do it, to set aside our needs for a time to say, Father, not my will, but thine be done. Jesus went further in his earthly ministry, not only by doing the will of the Father, which he did completely up until the cross and further, but he also brought a heaven's atmosphere at times to this earth by healing the sick, casting out demons, ministering to the poor, to the broken, to those that are in the condition that they are in, not because of the will of God, but because of the will of man, because of our own sin. All those evils are in the world, even to this day, because of the sin of man. When Jesus was dealing with that, healing the sick, raising the dead, feeding the hungry, doing all those things he did, teaching them the right things to do, he was in fact saying, this is what the kingdom looks like. Even to the point where he went further, and when Satan tried to tempt him to shortcut the will of the Father by avoiding the cross. All these kingdoms are mine, Satan said. I'll give them to you. If you want these people so much, I'll give them to you. He rejected Satan and that proposal. And he rejected the temptation of the shortcut for the power, earthly power, of the kingdoms of this world. And he endured all of it through the cross and the suffering and the shame for the will and the plan of the Father. That's what we pray when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But let's get a little bit honest now. You have prayed that prayer. Amen. Not just verbatim. We've all prayed the Lord's Prayer at different times in our life, but we've prayed it in other times where we pray, thy kingdom come and thy will be done. But if we're being honest with ourselves, often that prayer, whether or not would ever leave our lips, and most likely would never not leave our lips this way, but it sounds like, as we're praying it, my kingdom come, my will be done. That's the heart of man, even when we're saved. The desire to see our kingdoms expanded, our desires and our wills to supersede everybody else's, including God's. And again, most of us would not be so bold as to state it that way, but the intent and the way in which we live our lives, or I should say the way we live our lives, shows really the intent of our hearts. Thy kingdom come, as long as it looks like my kingdom. Thy will be done, as long as it lines up with everything that I want. And if we're being true to ourselves, we have to recognize that within ourselves. That often when we pray that, we pray, my kingdom come, my will be done. See, we fall into this trap because sometimes, even of us, those of us who, and this is not my words today to those of us who have, who love the Lord, who have been born again, who are reborn child of God, children of God, and on our way to heaven, as Robert said earlier, you know, I say this in a sense of the fact that it affects us as much as it affects those who have not yet submitted to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I say things like, even we, his church, his people, who do love him, and I'm not questioning anybody's love for him, I know we all do, we sometimes treat God as a divine vending machine, lottery ticket, you know? Lord, I need, I want, I need, I want, I want, I need, I want, I need, I want, I need, I want. Many times we pray this way with even a justification within ourself that it is a good thing. But what we forget sometimes is even the good things may be, that we consider good, may be outside of the will of the Father. You can pray for good things, and I'm not telling you not to pray, but you need to always pray in a way that says, Father, it's not what I demand, it's what you know is best for me. Oh, Lord, I need this promotion at work. And he might be saying, no, you don't. Well, I need this bigger house. No, you don't. Well, I need, no, you don't. Or I have something better for you. I have a different way for you. See, in the underlying motive when we pray as God is this, you know, genie in the bottle type of situation, it's that underlying motive usually for something that we desire to make us more comfortable, to help us to line up with our view of things, a certain status to ourselves, or whatever that might be. And then God becomes, and our prayer becomes, a means to an end rather than his will to be done. And did you ever pray what you considered a good prayer, but the prayer was to have somebody changed so you could like them better? Well, my wife this morning was really acting. Lord, get a hold of her and help her to line up with what I just said to her. So she, that's dangerous, man. Because more than likely it's you that's the problem. More than likely, not that people can't be problems, but you understand, if we sometimes go out and say, Father, you know, change them to do better and to do this, and I want them to do your will, but what you're really praying is you want them to do your will, not the Father's will. Oh, you know that one in work, and you pray all this thing about them, and but reality, the Father may allow that person in your life, causing the problems that they're causing in your life, to help to see something in you, but for you to love them, learn to love them better, to learn to love them in a way that Jesus would teach you to love them, to change you. He puts people in our lives to change us so many times. And here we are trying to change them. No, Lord, just help me to love them. Only you can change them to be your child. See, when we have this desire for personal vindication, revenge, control, whatever it might be, we're not praying his will to be done at all. Now, this one may rub some of us a little funny, but and I've seen this over the last, I'm going to say at least the last decade or so, okay? There has been a very, very strong movement within many churches, church circles, Now, I'm going to couch my words by saying we should be praying for our world. We should be praying for the government, the presidents, you know, all those differences in governors. We should be praying. That's biblical. We should be doing that. But there is a move that's been afoot so many times for fervent prayer for specific political candidates or party to win because we say that's going to advance the kingdom of God. No, it's not. God can use it for that. But God puts people in places for his purposes. Not that it just makes us feel better about the world around us for a few minutes until the next time they take a poll and then we don't like the person anymore because they did something we don't like anymore. And now, oh God, why did you make them, you know, president? Why did you make them governor? Why did you make them mayor? You know. See, Lord, we pray for those in power. We pray and we should exercise our God. I'm going to say in a way that the framer said it, you know, the God-given rights that we have in our country that and to even vote and things like that. But when we pray that this must happen, it must be of this party, it must be of this persuasion, it must be of this movement, it has to be, you're not praying his will. You're praying your own. You're praying your own. See, sometimes we pray for even good things, but we pray with a heart that demands it to be done in a certain timely manner. See, we might be praying something in line with the will of God, but demanding that God do it within a certain time. That's not praying according to his will, because not only is it God's desires and God's plans, but it is his plans within the time frame that God sets, not us. I have seen and I've been involved with many men of God who are pastoring a church and who do love the Lord. But I've watched and witnessed many times their desire for church growth, not to expand the kingdom of God, but expand their own sphere of influence. I want to have the biggest church. I want to have the most. I want to have the biggest worship team. I want to have the best audio visual, and I want to have the biggest parking lot, and I want to have all this stuff. And it's this idea that, well, wait, Father, why are we here to build our kingdoms or yours? And what does that look like? What does the kingdom of God look like? Not that those things inherently are necessarily bad, but if that's your will, when you say, Lord, I want the church to grow, but really what you want is your influence to grow or your status to grow, then that's not within the will of the Father. How many times do we pray again with selective prayers for obedience? In other words, we'll ask God's will in major areas, Lord, I'm single and I'm looking for a spouse. Good, pray. pray. Do all that. Pray for, Lord, I want you to put me in the right, job and the promotion, Lord, and all these different things that we pray, and you're praying for that, and you're praying for God's will and all those things. But then there's really, though, that hidden desire within your heart of disobedience in other areas. And what I mean by this, to make that more clear, is you may be saying in a good way, I really pray for peace and unity in the body of Christ, while in your own heart, you are harboring unforgiveness. You're engaging in gossip. You're refusing to do this and that. You can pray it and you can mean it. I want unity, but then you could be the cause of disunity. See, these become heart checks. These are things about when we pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. What are we really praying for? See, and you might be thinking now, wait, but you just were talking a moment ago about this millennial reign of kingdom. Well, I want to address that for a minute. We have a couple more minutes together, a little more time together. And there is a lot of discussions, amongst the biblical scholars for years and years and years and years. If you read your King James Bible, it says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. New King James and others, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, what is it? Is it in earth or on earth? Is it the same thing? Is it different? Well, the technical answer is the word is epi, which means on or upon. So, I guess the better translation in our modern English would be thy will be done on earth. But then when you look at that, you're saying, okay, then what you're saying as we pray this is thy kingdom come, so I'm only praying for the millennial kingdom. Well, yes and no. Because as we said earlier, when Jesus came to this earth, he showed us glimpses of the kingdom of God. He walked in the will of the Father all the way through to the the fulfillment of the plan. He set the atmosphere by doing the miracles and the healings and the teachings that he showed. This is what the kingdom of God looks like. And in that same way, when we are praying, the desire of our heart should be, yes, Lord, I cannot wait for your kingdom, the millennial kingdom, to come to this earth. Your return, come back, Jesus. Maranatha, come now. Come quickly, Lord. But in the meantime, Lord, will your will be done and your kingdom be done in my life, in me? See, because we recognize that the scope of the prayer is geography big, the whole ball of the planet Earth, but the idea of in Earth is, Lord, will it begin with me? The kingdom of heaven, it said, is where? Within you. See, we have to be honest with ourselves. We might be wanting and desiring, and really so, the kingdom to come back. But are we willing right now to say, Lord, will your kingdom come into my heart? Will you sit on the throne of my heart? Will your will be done in my life and through my life? That's really the prayer. The big level and the small level. So in other words, we're praying in this way and we're saying, Lord, I want you to come to this planet once again and to return in the way and set up your kingdom. But Lord, as I pray this prayer, Lord, will you begin in this piece of real estate? This dust of the earth. Will it truly be your kingdom in my heart? Will truly your will be done in my life just as it is in heaven? That's where it really begins, church. That's what really matters as we pray that portion of the prayer. Lord, let it be done in me. One day he's going to come no matter what. You know, he's coming. You know what? And don't stop praying that. And I hope you do. I hope you have a burning desire in your heart to truly be a Maranatha Christian. You know, the Lord cometh. Yes, Lord, come quickly, Lord. Come quickly, Lord, to this earth. But I want you to more so in conjunction with that desire that I want to grow within you to say, Lord, I want the kingdom now in this earth now. And Lord, where I go with you ruling and reigning in my heart, with my desire set aside to have not my will but thine be done, then Lord, as I walked, as you walked, help me to show your kingdom in those areas where I tread my feet, where I go, when I'm in church, when I'm at work, when I'm in school, when I'm at home, when I'm shopping. Lord, let me be a reflection of your kingdom that's coming. Let me be a reflection of someone whose will is being done through their life, that I surrender it all to you. I can pray with desires. You gave me desires, and I pray with those things, but I pray in such a way that I pray loosely. Meaning, Lord, this is what I pray. This is what I think. This is what I desire. But Lord, not just a phrase, not just a repetition, not just a sound, you know, biblically, you know, correct and all those different things, but I truly mean, Lord God, you know so much better than I, so not my kingdom, but yours, and not my will ultimately, but your will be done in me. In me. Test everything you do against the Word of God. That's a real good check to see if it's your will versus His will. check it all against the Word of God. God's not going to allow you to do anything that He hasn't already commanded and taught us to do. He's not going to change His Word. Use that as the first filter to test it all through the Word of God. Pray with an openness and a desire to truly allow the Holy Spirit who lives within you to empower you to live this life. In other words, pray with open hands. Pray with open hearts. Pray with, Lord, as I pray this is the way I see, but you say I see darkly. So, Lord, help me to see with clarity from your perspective. And, Lord, that's what I want. Allow the Holy Spirit to show you, to open your eyes, to show you the plan and the will of the Father that you can submit to. Seek wise counsel, first through God's Word, yes, and the Holy Spirit. Let Him also to lead you to others who will not just be those who are yes men and yes women in your life, but those who will say to you, you know, have you really prayed about this and thought about this? Are you desiring your will or the Father's? Are you desiring His kingdom or your kingdom? You know, avoid those echo chambers of people in our life. You know, our plans fail. What's it say in the Proverbs? For lack of counsel. Lord, help me to seek good and godly counsel. Don't go through the doors that God closes in your life. He closes them for a reason. And He opens other ones. So when He has a closed door and you know it's a closed door, stop kicking against it. Like Paul, stop kicking against the pricks. No, it's a closed door. Father, help me to see the open door that you have for me. Or if I'm supposed to just stand still until you open another door. Recognize whether the peace that you get through the things that you're asking for is a peace because it's what you desire only. But it will be a fleeting peace. In fact, it might not be any peace at all, because sometimes, you know, it's not a biblical proverb, but, you know, sometimes it's not the best thing to get what we ask for, you know what I mean? And then all of a sudden you think, and all of a sudden you pray and pray and pray, and God allows it to say, oh, why did I ask for this, right? Pray for things that are lasting peace. The peace that comes from Him. The peace that endures through circumstance. That peace that you know you're in the will of the Father, even when circumstances get really difficult, right? But you have peace. Oh, I'm in the will of the Father. And when the answer is delayed, as you're praying, not my kingdom but yours, not my will but yours, you can say, Father, your grace is sufficient for me. Your strength is made perfect in my weakness. As I wait upon you, Lord, renew my strength, renew my peace, renew my resolve to do what I know to do. We all know what we're to do, but don't change until you know. And when He will direct you into His will, not your own, He'll open the door and give you the path to take. See, the communion table was a great place to think about that. Do this in remembrance of Him. Yes, His great sacrifice, but it was all because of the plan of the Father from the beginning for Jesus to come. But remember how He modeled Himself in His life in the kingdom when He was on this earth. You know, Jesus was in, if you will. Now look, again, when I say this, God is God. Satan is no match for God. Understand that, okay? There's not this cosmic struggle that, you know, Satan and God are equal power struggling to good versus evil. No, there's no contest. God is God alone. But when Jesus was on this earth, He was in hostile territory, right? Satan was allowed to be the prince and the power of this world system for a time. And what did Jesus do? He came into this earth showing the kingdom of God, showing the plan and the will of the Father, giving people a taste of the kingdom that's going to come one day and inviting them to join in that kingdom. That's what we have an opportunity to do. Remember His teachings. Feast on His teachings. Allow the Holy Spirit to bring His words to remembrance every day. And then truly pray for your life that you would surrender daily and say, Father, I truly desire the kingdom to come to this earth one day, but I really desire today that it begin within me. And that will begin when I set aside my will and I truly desire your will to be done. So love one another. wash one another's feet. All the things he said before they sat at that table, while they were sitting around that table. Love one another that the world may know that I am yours and that you are mine. I mean, that I sent you into the world. All these things that we have an opportunity to show the world. And he even said at that time, abide in me. I'll abide in you, and you'll bear good fruit.